Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 90 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling an ideal season for our favorite crop. About the top marks a half dozen country elevator staff gave the 2017-2018 wheat growing season. I had the opportunity to travel and talk with personnel in the country as part of my duties at the Washington Grain Commission, leading the annual Nishin Crop Quality Survey Team. Nishin is Japan's largest flour milling company. 2018 marked my 10th year leading teams on the two-day, nearly 300-mile wheat quality tour that visits six country elevator operations, in addition to stops at the Grain Inspection Service in Spokane and the Western Wheat Quality Lab in Pullman. The 2 days in August are always a high point of my summer. I enjoy talking with the young Japanese executives, but I'm especially interested to hear elevator company personnel give their observations of the crop in the process of being harvested. At different points during the growing season, most of us connected with the wheat industry have an opinion about how the crop looks. But years ago, I was introduced to the saying, "It's a long way from the field to the grain bin," meaning that a lot can go wrong before the crop is harvested. This year, however, a lot appeared to go right, a reminder that farmers work with a fickle partner. She can make protein levels rise by withholding rain or create quality havoc by varying air temperatures. She can even prevent fields from being planted and stunt growth by raining too much. Each of these scenarios played out over the last three crop seasons. But wheat plants harvested in 2018 didn't have to endure any of that. In 2018, as the men you'll hear from ahead attest, Eastern Washington's wheat growing season was about as good as it gets. Yes, a few farmers have falling number issues, but the problem is minimal by the standards of 2016. Not only have there been fewer samples below 300, fewer still have been below 250, the number at which it becomes more difficult to blend the grain. As far as I know, Nishin is the only company that obtains samples of the crop while the crop is still being harvested. The samples are marked as to their class and the location where they were received. At the end of the tour, which includes a couple of days picking up samples on a drive through Oregon with Oregon Wheat Commission representatives, the samples are air freighted to Japan, where teams of quality experts hurry to determine the quality of the crop coming at them. In this podcast, you'll only be hearing from five individuals, although we had six stops. Taylor Olland, who spoke to the group at Highline Grain Odessa's office, failed to record, a fact I blame on operator error. Ahead, you'll hear from Taylor Warwick in the Davenport office of Highline Grain, followed by Brian Gordon, manager of Ritzville Warehouse, Derek Schneidmiller, manager at CHS in Rockford, John Heaton, owner of State Line Processors, and David Weitz, grain division manager at Pacific Northwest Farmers Cooperative, with a coda from Bud Riedner, general manager of McCoy Grain Terminal, which is owned by PNW. But first, at each of the team's stops, I asked the individuals in the meeting how they would rate this year's crop progress and weather based on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being ideal. Here's how Taylor Warwick at Davenport responded.
I think I'd put him at an 8. I was just trying to remember what it was like when they were planting the winter wheat last fall, but I think they had pretty good moisture to plant into the ground, and then they ended up getting pretty good moisture right after they planted, from what I recall. And the winter was a pretty average one for snow cover and the amount that the snow was on the ground. And this spring, it was more ideal than last spring, because last spring they had trouble getting in to plant certain places. We had actually prevent planted acres due to so much water, standing water, that you couldn't plant into. So this spring was way better than last year. But overall, like I said, I'd call it an 8. Mm-hmm. It was pretty ideal.
Now, you got above average precipitation here, though, didn't you, as well?
Yes, but it wasn't compared to the previous year. I mean, we were still above average, which was nice. But then it just, like, cut off there at the end of May, going into June, and hasn't rained much since. I think that it was developed far enough along on the winter wheat that it didn't get stressed out too much. The spring wheat, it could have. The majority of the guys around here for spring varieties do dark northern spring, hard red spring. And so they kind of want that stress because then it helps them reach the protein levels that they want to be at.
In terms of test weight, is everything over 60 pounds?
Yes, there was some first loads that were just under, but everything else has been above 60 that I've seen that we've been testing here.
What's been the growth of the crop? How have things unfolded this year?
Probably could have used another rain there in late June, early July, but didn't quite get it for the spring wheat, which we're just now starting to get some spring wheat brought in. So I don't know yields on that, but I know the winter wheat yields have been 80 plus for bushels per acre.
And how much is that over average?
I think it's maybe right at average, maybe 5-10 bushels over. I mean, it kind of depends on variety, if it's club wheat or soft white wheat or hard red winter, which hard red winter we were down for intake in this area this year compared to previous years.
And what's been your protein on soft white?
It's been 9.5 to 10.5 on the winter wheat, been right in there.
Club wheat?
That's been holding in there. It's been a little bit lower on some of them. Maybe more down in the high eights for percentage on protein, but then there's other ones that are up there more in the closer to 10.
And so what varieties are you looking at planting here?
A lot of guys did Curiosity Magic out of here. A lot of them did Auto Jasper. There were some of them that did Jasper, Auto, L-Tan, and the SY-107, combined all four of them.
Are you concerned at all about falling numbers? Any one of these could really have a problem with falling numbers, right?
Yes, and we've been testing for falling numbers throughout our entire company. This region here seems to be holding above 300 pretty well, and doesn't seem to be variety specific around here. Some of the other regions within Highline, they are dealing with some lower falling numbers just because of the weather as the crop developed.
And what kind of falling numbers have you been having out of here?
Out of here, it's like it's been 300 plus. Even seen some 340s, like I said. But down kind of further south, they've been like 280, 275. But with us being up here, having the higher ones, we can blend them together and make them disappear.
Brian Gordon at Ritzville Warehouse agreed it had been a very good year, numerically speaking.
I would say it's around 8. Growing conditions, we had plenty of moisture going into the fall seeding. Got a good stand. And basically, in our area, the ability to have moisture there is a big key on our crop size. So,
What would have made it a 10?
Maybe a little bit better spring. It was a little cool, which usually is good, but then we had a couple frosts in May and June that hit some of the draws in the area.
Okay. So what were the planting conditions this year for, last fall for the winter wheat and this spring for the spring wheat?
The planting conditions were excellent as long as you got planted early enough. There's plenty of moisture and got up quickly. This spring, it was a little drier. We had some heat, but we're still kind of just getting into the spring wheat right now as far as the harvest is going, so I haven't really been able to see where we are at that with the spring wheat.
Okay, all right. Tell us about the varieties that you mainly plant in this particular area.
So the main varieties around here are Puma. We're doing a little of the Duet that's new. For club wheat, Crescent and Briel. We also have quite a bit of Auto and a very little bit of Zerfa.
Are you seeing a decline in Briel use and an increase in Crescent?
Yeah, so we were closer to about 50-50 this year when it was more 90% Briel in the past. The quality of Crescent's better.
10%. How often do you have a situation where club has no premium? Is that a once every 10-year kind of thing or...?
Obviously, based off supply and demand, we've had three large crops in a row.
Any chance of club being discounted?
I don't think so. We seem to... It's not when we had some issues with falling number issues. A lot of people switched to soft white and stopped growing some of the Brille, and just to not put themselves out there for a possible discount for falling number. We obviously can't supply the whole amount of 8 to 9 million bushels worth of club wheat. So for our area, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. If they're, you know, it needs to have some kind of club premium to, I think, keep them going. But for the bigger areas, you know, a 25 cent. But most of our area, if Brille or whatever club wheat, it's usually the best variety that's out there.
You had more than average moisture here. Any problems with the moisture? Did moisture come at the right time?
Yes, but it was definitely spotty. We had a lot of storms that came through, so certain areas got the moisture and certain areas that didn't. The areas that got the moisture, they were at record yields, and the ones that didn't are just above average. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the test weight is all 60 plus?
Correct.
Okay, so now we get to the falling numbers question. What I am hearing is that it's not as bad as 2016, but it's out there.
So we had issues in 2013 and 16. What we're seeing this year is we're not seeing the real lows that we did then. That was coupled by rain and that fluctuating temperature. So we're not seeing the sub 200s that we did. Most all of ours, that's in the marginal ranges between 250 and 300. And it's only probably isolated somewhat within about 5 or 6 of our 30 elevators.
Wonderful. That's good news. That's good news. Derek Snidemiller at the CHS Rockford office thought the crop was very good, but not quite as good as Warwick and Gordon.
I would say we're probably at about a 7. As you go further south, you know, there's been some phenomenal yields. Up here, we've seen some 100 bushel yields, but some more, you know, 75 to 85, which is kind of average. So nothing that's going to knock it out of the park, but it hasn't been a bad year by any means. For the fall wheat crop, there was adequate moisture. Didn't really get stressed until late in the season with some heat and dryness. Spring wheat crop has been a little bit stressed just because it's turned dry and hot here over the last 6 weeks or so. So it's been a little bit more stressed. Everything was pretty much seeded on time. Weather conditions allowed the crop to get in timely. So that got things off to a good start. Quality has looked good so far. We haven't come across any big issues with falling numbers yet that we've seen.
And what are we looking at in terms of falling numbers, Derek?
We've seen some low 300s. I haven't come across anything below 300 yet.
That's what we like to hear.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Your average yield, you say 70, 75?
Yeah, I would say probably 70, 75 is what we have on average for winter wheat. Spring wheat, we're probably down closer to 50.
Mm-hmm. And the protein?
For the white wheat?
Mm-hmm.
Typically 7 to 8% probably. In most years, we don't, at the local elevator level here, test the protein levels. 2015 was a year that we did. Because of the drought, so we knew the crop was stressed, and we saw 12, 13, 14% protein on the white wheat that year. But I would say probably anywhere from 7 to 9%.
And the test weight is all 60 plus?
60 plus, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you have any carryover this year?
We had no carryover this year, no. Mm-mm. No, no.
In the heart of the Palouse in Tico, Washington, John Heaton gave this year's crop development progress the highest score yet.
Boy, I would say we're, you know, I'd give it a 9. You know, it's funny. I don't know if we're going to set any ultimate records, you know, for individual fields here and there. But it's uniformly good. You know, it's and that's fine. We'll take that. Yields seem to be good. Quality seems to be good. The test weights are good. And prices are actually even kind of good. Of course, you probably like lower prices. You know, you like to buy low. But no, actually, we are kind of tickled with the way things are turning out at the moment. So We kind of need one of these. We had kind of a rough year last year. It was awfully wet, almost too wet. And, of course, the year before that, we had the falling numbers issues. And so we kind of needed a good one for a change. And I think we're gonna see that. So we're tickled that way. I just had Sandy look. We're just now getting grades that are coming back in, but our protein levels seem to be 10% or lower, kind of right in there. Falling numbers are awfully high. We've had five big lots that have been graded, and the lowest was 377 and the highest was 390. So yeah, we're not even close. Like, oh gosh. So it's not an issue. So that we're happy about that. And looking at the protein here, we've had a 9.2, a 9.8, a 10.9, a 9.4, and a 9.2. And that is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, that's probably about 100,000 bushel. It's not a huge amount, but for what we've got, I think everything's probably going to fall right. You know, we might have a few outliers one way or the other. But yeah, it's kind of nice to have everything just be normal for a change, you know. Basically, as far as the weather conditions, I would say ideal all the way. I mean, really, we had, and that's what makes good crops, obviously, is Mother Nature. And we had pretty much ideal conditions in the fall, pretty good conditions in the winter. Had a few cold snaps here and there where we all get a little nervous, like, oh, we wish we had a little more snow cover. But it didn't seem to hurt us at all. Came into spring, we were good. And here, you know, last week it was hotter than heck. I was in Iraq for a little bit, and you know, and so that's what it was. Iraq hot the last week. It was kind of, but everything was pretty much made. I mean, the crop was made. It maybe would have. I don't even think it hurt the spring wheat. I mean, everything's, it's over the hump. It's on the downward cycle to ripening. So other than for humans, it was miserable. The yield, that's always kind of the wild card, but I'm going to put 85 plus. I mean, we've had guys that have cut, you know, 120 bushel wheat. Test weight has been awfully good. I don't have that on there, but I've seen some grades. We've been right around the 62 pound, so it's been good heavy wheat. That's been the other thing. A few of my truck drivers have noticed that, you know, they kind of get to loading their trucks kind of the same way, and they've been kind of chronically overloaded just because the wheat is heavier, which is good. And spring wheat's usually a little bit less, but I think it'll probably be right in there at the 60 mark. Now it's funny, on our farm we were cutting wheat yesterday, and some of our best ground, and I had a 20 acre plot of registered Bruno, and of course it's all GPS'd. I mean, I know it's 20 acres and it doesn't take that long to cut it, and I got combine in there, got it all cut, and I get back to the elevator and I add up the pounds, and I divide by 60 to get my bushels, and I divide by 20 on the acres, and I come up with 60 bushels per acre.
Oh, disappointing.
And so, well, obviously that isn't right. I've made a math error, and I do it again, and I did it three times, and I look at all the tickets, and it made sense. And I went back out and looked, and I think we got a frost. There was just nothing in the heads for about halfway up. That's pretty rare. It's not like there's some big wide, you know, fraud, but in that little particular case. But generally, the yields have been awfully good. I've really had nobody complain that, you know, on the yields. But I think overall, I bet it's going to be above 85 bushel. On the spring wheat, this is kind of a guess, but I just looking at it, I would say 60 plus. That's usually, I mean, and that's kind of historically the way it changes. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of it was a little bit better.
at Pacific Northwest Farmers Cooperative. David White sounded like he wanted to give this year's crop progress and weather conditions a 10, but he just couldn't bring himself to do it.
You never want to say 10. I was a coach, so I'll never give a perfect score. So I'm going to say 8.5, 9. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. Everything worked out really well. If there's not a bad crop out there, it's a fluke. I mean, there are some bad fields, but it's just maybe conditions, maybe chemical, maybe something that caused the damage. But it's hard to find a bad field. It really is. Out west, west of 195 and south, we've got guys cutting record crops. I would say in the typical high rainfall, you get over towards Pullman area, Albion, Pullman, to Palouse. That's good rainfall, and they usually cut really good crops. They're still going to be above average. And then you go up north, you know, you go north of Roselia, and again, those guys are cutting anywhere from average to 30% above average. The combines last year were driving about 3.5 miles per hour. This year they're going about a mile. So it doesn't take them very long to fill a semi up with wheat. 63 test weight. We've seen as much as 64 to 65 was the highest I think I saw. I'm not seeing anything below 61. I don't remember the rainfall that we had, but in areas we were above rainfall and just about everywhere across our growing area. Places that were average rainfall, we still had ideal growing conditions in May and June, so we didn't get very hot. And so even if they lacked some moisture, the heat units were enough to help grow the crop, but it wasn't enough to damage the crop. So it actually, that's almost just as good as moisture. We are cutting yields right now probably on average 20 to 40% higher than normal.
What about the falling numbers?
Falling numbers are good. We overall, from north to south, east to west, we've got, so far we're doing really well. We've had pockets that maybe that was a little bit lower than right in that 300 range, but other than that, we're in the 350s or better.
Great.
Which I think you're going to see every year. Every year you're going to have pockets, especially in the Palouse with the hills. And I think our winter wheat yield is going to average 115. I mean, we've got winter wheat going 140. So that's going to be a tough call. But I'm going to say overall average is probably going to be around 120. Mm-hmm. Most of the guys this year put in DNS instead of spring white.
Now, they're not going to be making protein on that, are they?
You know, so the way the weather, I mean, 45 days without rain. And I know they top dressed. The odds in my camp, I believe, is that we have a better chance of making protein in DNS than we do in the hard red winter. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably average in the upper 13s on DNS. I mean, the yields are still going to be 70 bushel probably, which is way too high. But I think we have a better shot at protein in DNS.
Finally, we hear from Bud Reedner, who oversees Pacific Northwest Farmers Cooperative's train loading facility at McCoy. He reminds us it's been a few years since seasonal weather has been so favorable, resulting in excellent wheat quality for customers.
This is probably the first true year we haven't had a protein problem or a falling number or something like that in the 5 years I've been here. Is that proteins are very good for Asian market, good for steam breads, noodles. Mm-hmm. Even flatbreads. I mean, 9 to 9.5, they prefer 9.5 protein or better, but it's still fairly good stuff. And I think all customers will be very happy with this stuff.
You just heard some discussion about above average seasonal precipitation in 2018. That got me wondering how the 2017 season compared. For those dying to know, on August 20th, 2017, Spokane had in excess of 7 inches of precipitation over average for the season, whereas in 2018, in the same time frame, precipitation was only a bit over 2 inches above normal. In 2017, Ritzville was nearly 5 inches over, whereas in 2018, precipitation was only 1.5 inches above average. Lind was 5 inches over average in 2017, but in 2018, it was 2.5 inches over.
In 2017, Pullman was more than 4 inches above normal. In 2018, it was just shy of 3 inches of precipitation above normal. Just goes to prove, rain makes grain, but too much rain makes a mess. That's all the time we have. I hope you've enjoyed episode 90, or what I've entitled, An Ideal Season for Our Favorite Crop. Please join me again next week for another episode of Weed All About It.
We love the land. The farm's our career. But make no mistake, we do not steer. Mother Nature's in the driver's seat. I'm talking life, and I'm talking wheat. We're riding shotgun, and we have our say. But Mrs. N, she points the way. We feed you.